Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Today, the first reading is taken from the second letter of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 3, verse 15, through chapter 4, verse 6. So 3:15 through 4, verse 6. Brothers and sisters, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over the hearts of the children of Israel. But whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. All of us, gazing with unveiled face on the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory as from the Lord who is the Spirit. All of us gazing. You know, I cannot in my human flesh, nor can you, see God and live. But I can gaze on his presence, in a sense, in the tabernacle. And I can receive from him the light and the healing that changes everything. All of us gazing with unveiled face on the glory of the Lord are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory as from the Lord who is the Spirit. The Spirit of the living God pours forth life upon us, and we are changed. We move from glory to glory. If we're willing to give ourselves over to the Lord, to subject, I don't mean that in a negative sense, to bow down before the Lord, to acknowledge him as Lord and Savior, as Father. Really acknowledge him and say, here I am, Lord. Lead me. Guide me. Send me. Do with me what you will. Only let me glorify you. Let me bring you honor. Let many people come to love you because of the way I am, because of the way I speak, because of my priorities. Even, Lord, use my repentance when I sin to unveil yourself in my life, to be more and more clear, because every time I repent, I give you more room to live in me and work through me. That's what God wants. You might put it in slightly different words, that's fine. But make sure that you really see what it is God is offering you. I've said this many times, he never mandates it, because you have a free will. So it's up to you. Don't drift. Make decisions. Therefore, since we have this ministry through the mercy shown us, we are not discouraged. And even though our gospel is veiled, it is veiled for those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this age has blinded the minds of the unbelievers so that they may not see the light of the gospel or the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves. We're not talking about ourselves. We preach Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your slaves for the sake of Jesus. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to bring to light the knowledge of the glory of God on the face of Jesus Christ. And the more we draw nearer to Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit, the more we seek to do the will of God, the more that light shines on us. Psalm 85, the glory of the Lord will dwell in our land. I will hear what God proclaims, the Lord, for he proclaims peace to his people. Near indeed is his salvation to those who fear him. Glory dwelling in our land. Kindness and truth shall meet, justice and peace shall kiss, truth shall spring out of the earth, and justice shall look down from heaven. These are all the fruits of our relationship with God, if we assent to it. The Lord himself will give his benefits. Our land will yield its increase. Justice shall walk before him, and salvation along the way of his steps. When we follow the Lord, goodness comes. It doesn't mean the cross is absent, but goodness comes. And deeper life comes. And wisdom comes. Perspective comes. It all comes when we put ourselves in right relationship with God. And today we read from the Gospel of Matthew chapter 5, verses 20 to 26. Jesus said to his disciples, "I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees," in other words, they did only the right thing so that they could be known as good and holy. They did the right thing for self-satisfaction. And Jesus is saying, "I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven." So it's not enough just to carry out the actions. It's where your heart is and why you're carrying out God's will. Why are you carrying out God's commands? So that he be known and loved. Not for yourself. "You have heard that it was said to your ancestors, 'You shall not kill,' and whoever kills will be liable to judgment. But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment." Pay attention to this. "And whoever says to his brother, 'Raka,' will be answerable to the Sanhedrin. And whoever says, 'You fool,' will be liable to fiery Gehenna. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar," you come to worship God, "and there recall that your brother has anything against you, leave your gift at the altar." Leave it. "Go first and be reconciled with your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Settle with your opponent quickly while on the way to court with him. Otherwise, your opponent will hand you over to the judge, the judge will hand you over to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Amen, I say to you, you will not be released until you've paid the last penny." Now let's go back to the critical verse here. "Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar," you're coming to Mass. You're coming to the service in your church. And you bring your gift to the altar, and there recall that your brother has anything against you, leave your gift. "Go first and be reconciled with your brother, and then come and offer your gift." What value is our worship of God if we're harboring resentment and anger and bitterness and jealousy and unforgiveness in our hearts? We close ourselves off from God by those things. And that's why the gospel is telling us, go. Go be reconciled. That's why it's important before Sunday Mass, examine your conscience. Make a quick phone call to somebody if you have to. Say, "I just want you to know I forgive you, but let's talk about this," or whatever it is you need to say. But clear it off, because, brothers and sisters, your worship is not heard and seen before the throne of God when you harbor unforgiveness in your heart. God is very, very strong on that. Very strong. And I want to share with you again what Father Simon says about this. "The Lord counsels immediate action without hesitation. The gift is to be put down right then and there at the moment of remembering, and not another step toward the altar can be taken. Yet it is crucial to understand that Christ is in no way abolishing ritual sacrifice. The whole point of interrupting one's movement toward the temple is that the sacrifice may be accomplished all the more authentically as an embodiment of the entire personal being of the offerer, interior as well as exterior, social as well as religious. The original material gift is thus enhanced significantly. It now includes a purified memory, where God may dwell more spaciously, since there are no corners or back rooms cluttered with resentments and sour desires. It includes as well a heart at peace, which nurses no spites, demands nothing from anyone, plots no revenge, and has made amends for inflicted hurts. The Christian sacrifice of praise cannot occur at arm's length. The Eucharistic reference here is the heart of the matter, since both the sacrificial context and the verb used evoke the idea of Eucharistic offering. The gift we bring to the Father is Christ himself, and the effect of Christ's coming is that he has made us one with himself. Listen to this next sentence. We cannot offer ourselves to the Father in union with Christ if anything remains in us that clashes with what Christ is. This is hard. But brothers and sisters, if we get into the habit of this, of really examining our conscience, especially before Sunday liturgy, and really repenting and placing a call to somebody if needed, don't harbor resentment, desire for revenge. All that happens is you suffer. Your heart becomes hard. You become bitter, angry, spiteful. You're the one that ends up suffering the most while you think you're punishing the other. Do what Jesus asked. If you come before the altar and there remember that you have something against your brother or your brother has something against you, go. Go and be reconciled and then come and offer your gift. I don't think we want to get up out of Mass and walk out. But actually, that might be necessary. That's why I'm saying, examine your conscience. Friday, Saturday, examine your conscience. Is there anywhere where I'm holding a grudge? Anywhere where I've refused to speak to someone? Anywhere where I've refused to give forgiveness? One of those things where you don't wait till your emotions get all settled. You just go and you say it. I'm deciding to forgive you. Remember that man I told you about whose son was killed in a car accident and his best friend was driving? And the man was outside the police station the next morning and the press was there. They thought they might get some kind of juicy story and they asked him what he was doing there. And he said, I'm going in to see my son's friend. I'm going to forgive him. I do not want two deaths on my hands. He knew who he was. And as hard as that was, his son was dead. And yet he knew what he had to do. He made the decision to do the right thing. And it probably, most probably, gave internal freedom to that young man, whatever his punishment was, to know that he was forgiven. It could open his heart to a great deal of the mercy of God. So brothers and sisters, take a look at this area. I hear people saying, I don't get much out of Mass. Well, what are you expecting? What are you putting into it? How are you living your life? My goodness, may God give us all strength to do what is right and good. God bless you. For a free copy of my latest booklet, The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings, please call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.